birthday, for Christmas, God, for the
okay.
God, we thank you. We thank you so much for this day, for Christmas, God, for the incarnation, God, for you coming to earth to change the world. God, to grant us freedom, to grant us new life in you, God. And I pray that today that you would help us as we look into your word, God, to find new life in you. God, as we get ready to head into 2017, Lord, I pray that your word would light our path, God. God, that we would find a new measure of peace, of joy, God, of righteousness in the Holy Spirit, Lord, and that we would just be colored by it, changed by it, and transformed. In your precious name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, today is Christmas. For those of you who weren't looking at the calendar this morning or who woke up late. I know Uncle Dennis really wants a short sermon today so he can go back and play with all of his toys. So we'll see what I can do. Oh, you got a new basketball? All right. Well, I'm going to read this morning. We're going to start in Luke chapter 2. All right, we're going to read Luke chapter 2, and I want to focus especially on the words of the angels when they come to the shepherds. So, Luke chapter 2, we'll start in verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her first son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the fields keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is well pleased." When the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. All right. I want to focus this morning especially on the words of the angels when they praise God. I love what John Piper says. He says, "It took one angel to announce it, but it took a host of them to just kind of praise God in that moment." You know, one angel wasn't going to be sufficient to give enough glory to God for that moment. So all of a sudden, after the announcement comes, there's just a host, this huge group of angels just show up and they start saying this incredible thing. They say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased." And on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Praise God that we get peace when he gets glory. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, is the reason Christ came to earth was to give us peace and to give God glory. Because if we are You know, God, He's glorious and He desires to be praised by a peaceful humanity. That's what He wants for us. That's His plan for you and I, is for us to have peace, to have just surrender. Like, okay, now when we think of peace, what do we think of? No wars, no trouble. Oftentimes what we think of is quiet, right? If you go out and you read like a Chicken Soup for the Soul type of book, that they'll tell you, you know, peace, it's like it's when your soul is like a still pond. Your soul is calm, right? That is peace, you know, and everyone's working either for inner peace or outer peace. Maybe in your family, you're hoping for peace. You have conflict between you and other people. Or you're hoping, you know, for world peace, right? That's a big thing that people pray for. And in the King James Version, this passage, it used to read, "And on earth, and peace on earth, goodwill towards all men." But really what a more accurate translation is, "And on earth, peace among those with whom He is pleased." Okay, there's going to be peace among the people of God. There's a peace amongst the people of God. And one day, Christ will return, and there will be worldwide peace. And we look forward to that. That day when conflict will cease, all of our strife will be stilled. In Isaiah chapter 9, there's a prophecy of Jesus coming. And many of us know this title of Jesus. We sing about it. We talk about it. Isaiah chapter 9. Verses 6 and 7. It says this: "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, and on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." The passion of God, the zeal of God will accomplish this. The zeal of God will put Christ on the throne. And of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. Peace will stretch from one hemisphere to the next. In all the world, there will just be overwhelming peace. And right now, in the now of the kingdom of God, we get to experience a part of this peace. But this peace, it's very different from what the world thinks of when we think of peace, right? As I said earlier, when the world thinks of peace, they think of stillness, quiet, serenity, right? Calmness, a lack of storm in your life. Well, the Bible gives us a much more dynamic understanding of peace, a much more dynamic understanding of our soul and the needs of our soul. Because our soul does not just need stillness, it needs to be embraced and held. So you knew this was going to be an illustration. Bethany's gone. I am sad. And she's in Minnesota. She's visiting her family. Her sister-in-law actually just had a baby this morning, which was a huge surprise to everyone. We didn't see that coming. But so she had a baby this morning, and the poor child will never get a birthday present. It'll always be a Christmas/birthday present, which is kind of a cheap way of saying I bought you one present. So he'll get, and I'm really pushing for the name Baby Jesus, you know. But anyway, so she's gone. I'm left here alone, taking care of the whirlwind, right? I'm watching after Makana. And at night, when she finally goes to bed, and I realize I have survived yet another day, there is a sense of calmness and serenity, right? The you know, things, all of the debris starts to settle. The dust actually sits on the floor and on the furniture rather than just blowing around the house. And I climb into bed and I sit there, and there's a sense of serenity, a sense of calmness all of a sudden. And yet there's a lack, because as I sit there and look next to me at Bethany's empty spot with her pillow and perfectly made side of the bed, perfectly made. If you're listening, Bethany, the bed is perfectly made. And I sit there and I think, oh, well, this is kind of nice, I guess. I mean, there's stillness, there's calmness, and yet at the same time, there's something lacking. And the human soul, on a cosmic level, will search for peace, will search for stillness, will search for calmness, but there will still be something lacking. In Jeremiah chapter 2, God is talking to Israel. And when you look at Israel in the Old Testament, it's a little bit depressing. Well, not a little bit, very depressing. We're going to read Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 20 through 25. And this is kind of strong language, but it really, it gives us a glimpse into what our soul is craving as far as peace. Jeremiah 2, 20 through 25, it says this: "For long ago I broke your yoke and burst your bonds, but you said, 'I will not serve.'" Okay, so God here, he's declaring to the people of Israel, he's saying, a long time ago I delivered you. I set you free. I broke you out of your bondage. But you said, "I will not serve." Yes, on every high hill and under every green tree, you bowed like a whore. Yet I planted a choice vine, holy of pure seed. How then have you turned degenerate and become a wild vine? Though you wash yourself with lye and use much soap, the stain of your guilt is still before me, declares the Lord. How can you say, "I am not unclean"? I have not gone after the Baals. Those were false gods of the Philistine people at the time. Look at your way in the valley. Know what you have done. A restless young camel running here and there. A wild donkey used to the wilderness, in her heat sniffing the wind. Who can restrain her lust? None who seek her need weary themselves. In her mouth they will find her. In her month they will find her. Keep your feet from going unshod and your throat from thirst. But you said, "It is hopeless, for I have loved foreigners, and after them I will go." So here, God talking about the people of Israel, he tells them, you have this need inside of you, and you're running roughshod here and there, just chasing after it with all of your heart. In the words of, I believe it's Bob Dylan, who said, who are you going to serve, right? Who are you going to serve? You're going to serve somebody. Somebody's going to be your master. Somebody's going to be your God. We need a God. Humanity, we cry out for gods. We cry out for kings. We cry out to be ruled. We cry out to give our lives to something. Now, that takes many different forms. You know, here in the West, we typically don't set up a little idol in our house. Once in a while, you will find one in someone's house. But we typically don't have an idol that we set in the corner of our house. But we have many, many gods that we chase after. It could be fame. It could be fortune. It could be your own reputation. It could be your good name, your building yourself up. You could be your own God. And you're serving and trying to build your own self up. And as long as you're running after these things, you will not have peace. It says there, keep your feet from going unshod and your throat from thirst. Keep your throat from thirst. As long as you chase these other things, as long as you chase after, you know, any sort of fulfillment apart from God, you will be thirsty. You will be dry. You will not have peace. You might have a silent night. When all the kids go to bed, you might be able to sit there quietly, watch some TV, do something like that. But you will not have inner peace. Because your soul needs more than stillness. It needs to be held. Your soul needs embrace. We were made for embrace. Maybe you're not like me. You don't, you know, you're single, or you can stand being single. Maybe you even like being alone. But on a cosmic level, deeper even than our need for other people is our need for God. I saw a quote this morning from C.S. Lewis who said, "The Son of God became a man so that men could become the sons of God." And that's so powerful. The Son of God became a man so that men could become the sons of God. We could return to that heavenly embrace, that embrace of God, be brought back into the fold and have true and lasting peace. I love St. Augustine, what he said. St. Augustine lived a very, let's say, wild and rambunctious young life. He was, you know, what we would classify today as a sexual addict. You know, he just hopped from relationship to a relationship, chasing after one woman after another woman. And he, when he was contemplating becoming a Christian, he lived in the early, it was around the third century. All right. And when he was contemplating becoming a Christian, he was like, "There is no way that I can tame this lust in my heart." His mother was praying for him and praying for him, asking God to save him. But he said, "There's no way that I can tame this lust. There's no way that I can tame this desire, this wild desire inside of me." But then after he was saved, he suddenly found the peace that he had been searching for in the arms of women. And he said this in his book, Confessions. He says one of the most profound statements, more profound than anything he wrote after that. And he wrote a lot. But one of the statements he made was, "You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you. You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you." Just think about that for a moment. When something is created to run on a certain type of fuel, it doesn't do so well if you put another kind of fuel in it. When we were just in Florida, I had a very panicked moment because we went to at 4 a.m. We're going to the airport, returning the rental car, and pull up to the pump, finish filling the gas tank, and I put the gas handle back on, and I got a whiff of diesel. And I was like, just for a moment, I thought, because I mean, it's 4 a.m. Okay, I haven't had any coffee yet. I think, oh my gosh, did I just put diesel in a gas car? A very panicked moment. But luckily I looked down and I was still holding the gas, the handle. And I was like, okay, it is gasoline. But I knew, okay, if I put diesel in a gasoline engine, that is not a good thing, right? That car will not last very long. It will die. And likewise, when we try and run our lives on ambition, power, fame, reputation, even relationships, even interpersonal relationships, we are running on diesel when we're supposed to be running on gasoline. We are destroying ourselves. It might take a little while. It might be slow. But over the long haul, that peace, it's gone. That embrace, because our souls, again, our souls are meant to be held. Our souls are meant to be embraced. You have made us for yourself. And our souls are restless. Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. Christ came so that we could have that rest in him, so that we could be restored to him, so that we could stop running around seeking and trying to figure out, where am I going to find peace in this world? Where am I going to find fulfillment in this world? You know, when I was thinking about it and just reflecting on this, I just started crying because I was like, I know where to find peace. I know where to find satisfaction. I know where to find that embrace that my soul needs. How much of the world is searching for, working for, trying to achieve, trying to find that peace? We spend every waking moment thinking, how am I going to find peace? Maybe it's in your family, maybe it's in your personal life, whatever it might be, we are seeking peace. Every major world religion is telling you what you need to do to get right. Right? And here, God just says, peace on earth. With whom? Peace on earth and goodwill towards men with whom his favor dwells. Right? God sends his favor, his grace upon us. And we can have such peace, such calmness. All is right. In Romans 15:13, it says this. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Last week we looked at joy, right? We talked about joy, how the coming of Christ, the advent of Christ, should fill us to overflowing with joy. Well, this week we look at peace. Peace, not just peace in, you know, everything's calm, all is quiet, but peace in believing. Peace in this reconnection with us and God. Peace in the fact that we are children of God. We are loved. We are embraced. We are held in the arms of our loving Father. And this joy and peace, what does it result in? Hope. Hope. You know, the year 2016 was an interesting year, to say the least. I mean, our political situation was interesting, to say the least. Decisions were made that were interesting, to say the least. Even in our church, it was an interesting year. There are all sorts of interesting things that have happened. Perhaps even in your personal life. And we don't know what 2017 is going to bring. You know, I wish I could tell you exactly what 2017 was going to bring. And in fact, much of religious claims is we want to be able to tell you what's going to happen in the future. We really do. We want to be able to lay out a timeline, say this X, Y, and Z is going to happen, and then boom. And there's a lot of power that comes with that. And yet so much of God's plan is kind of cryptic, if you really think about it. And I think he does that so that he can kind of keep us in this place where we have to be dependent upon him. And our hope and our joy and our peace, it's not that we know exactly who's going to play which character, but we know the character of God. And we can rest in the peace of that. You know, whatever 2016 looked like, whatever 2017 will look like, whatever, if God willing, there's a 2018 will look like. We know that we are the children of the Most High God, and we are held, and we are loved, and there is nothing that can separate us from that love. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Almost finished. Let's go to John chapter 17. Here, so Christmas, the beginning of Christ's life on earth. And now we're going to look at sort of towards the end of Christ's life on earth. Looking towards the fulfillment of what he came to do. And this is his high and priestly prayer, as it's been known. His prayer for the church that remains. And I want us just to look for a moment at this prayer and at the certainty of this prayer. How God prays to God for us, right? How Jesus prays to the Father for us. I'm going to read 17 verses 11, and then I'm going to jump down 20 through 26. 17:11 says this, "And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. Now jumping down to verse 20. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's us. We weren't believers back then, but we are now. That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they also may be in us, so that the world may believe you have sent me. That they also may be in us. Think about that. That's our position right now. Just as the just as Jesus is in the Father, we are in them. That's a position that we have. We are part of this family of God. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them, even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. That's our hope. Someday we're going to get to see Christ in all of his glory. You know, when he walked on earth, he was veiled. He couldn't fully display all of his glory because it would have killed us. But someday we're going to get to see him in all of his glory. And in 1 John chapter 3, it says, and we shall be like him because we'll see him as he is. Our sanctification will be complete. We'll be glorified. And what will it take? It'll take seeing him just as he is. Man, I'm looking forward to that day. Right now we get a glimpse of him in Scripture. We get to see kind of his characteristics, his attributes. But someday we'll get to physically see him. And every impurity, every dark corner in our hearts will burn away. Like a moth in a flame, just gone. And we shall be like him in character. I'm looking forward to that. Oh, righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you. And these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name. And I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Guys, that's peace right there. That is the loving embrace that Christ came to provide for us. So that we did not need to stand far away from God and say, you know, continue to just stand there and go, unclean, unclean, I'm unclean, I can't come close. But when Christ came to earth, what did he do? We looked at it a couple months ago. He came and he touched the leper. And as he touched him, the leprosy was gone. It was cleansed. And in the same way, he came to be God with us, to touch us, and to burn away our impurity, so that the justice of God could be fully fulfilled by pouring out his wrath and his punishment upon Jesus Christ. And the mercy of God could be fully fulfilled by granting us the reputation, the goodness of Christ imputed to us, given to us, so that we would no longer be unclean, but we could be held in the arms of our Father. He in us and we in him. That is peace. That is real peace. Not just calmness, but even in the midst of storms. Anybody ever have a storm in life? Yeah? Anybody have some pebbles or rocks thrown into your serene pond? Right? But even in the midst of storms, even in the midst of difficulty, brokenness, trials, we can be held and we can be at peace. Amen. Let's stand together. God, we thank you that the promise that you give us is a promise of peace. And that peace is a means to us becoming one with you, God. God, I thank you that even in the midst of the sometimes hectic schedule of this Christmas time, Lord, we can remember and look back and say, we Now we have a cosmic peace. We have a peace for our souls. Not just a peace for our schedules, not just a peace for our weekends, God, but we have a peace for our souls. Because we do not have to continually wander, strive, seek, Lord, but we can be at rest in you, God. Because you came to earth, you walked among us, God, you cleansed our uncleanness, you hung on a cross and you said, "It is finished." And the veil was torn and we were welcomed into the very presence and arms of God. And by that Spirit, we can cry out now, "Abba, Father." We have been made sons of the Most High God. We are no longer enemies of God, Lord, but there is peace between us and you. Lord, what wonder, what glory, God. And we say glory to God in the highest. We thank you that as we rejoice in you, as we enjoy you, you're glorified, God. And as we find our fullest satisfaction in you, Lord, we find what we were made for. And your glory is our good. And God, I pray that you would help us to lay on the altar any idols. Lay on the altar anything that we have made more precious than you, God. God, that you would become all in all. That we would find the deepest peace, Lord. Not just serenity and stillness, God, but belonging. God, as we celebrate Christmas, God, it's a time of year when lots of people are missed. We are without a lot of people, Lord. And there is a sense of missing. But God, we thank you that in you we can find a deeper belonging, a truer belonging than we can have in any interpersonal relationship, Lord. So God, I pray that you would flood our hearts with that. God, I pray that you would help us to realize the fullness of what we've been given in you. And God, I pray that you would help us throughout the week, God, not just today, not just next Sunday, Lord, but throughout this entire week, throughout the entire month, throughout the entire year, God, to be at peace. To rely upon your finished work on Calvary, God. And just to rest in the loving relationship that we get to enjoy now. We pray all this in your name. Amen. Amen. Amen.